Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I was just watching this interview. An agnostic was interviewing an atheist. Sounds like a joke, don't it? It sounds like a joke. And the atheist wrote a book. And it actually had words in it and all. She just called it her memoirs. And she had an experience in her early years, which was obviously an experience with God. But she just refused to acknowledge God as being a potential answer. So she spent 60 years of her life trying to figure out what the answer is while she's trying to avoid the answer himself. And it's just like, you know, you're just screaming fool, you know, only a fool in their heart says there's no God. And so she writes a whole book saying that she's, her viewpoints are foolish. But the interesting thing is that how God has just given her time in her life to be able to say, I was wrong. I mean, how important and powerful would this atheist life be for the kingdom of God when she meets on the road to Damascus, she meets her own Damascus experience with the Lord.
Bright light and on the ground.
Bright light. But speaking of that, that's not even okay. The
we'll fix that.
Speaking of that, I'm looking around like, whoa.
Where am I? What happened?
And so so some psychologist stands up after reading her book. She goes, I read your book and it was just no, you're reading her stuff. Anyway. So, and of course, the cameras pan the audience, and of course, the audience is going like, oh, don't put the camera on me. Everybody's going to see I'm an atheist. Anyway, so she stands up, and she starts talking about, you know, when I think about your experience you had when you was 14 or something, she says, it just sounds like to me it's a neuronic, you know, firings, like sort of like, you know, when you think about epilepsy, I mean, it, you know, they have euphoric, there's all kinds of different epileptic seizures. And all that, and you know, and of course, this logical-minded atheist says, you know, in God's wisdom, you know, it frustrates the intellect of the intelligent, by the way. You can tell how frustrated she was, very frustrated. That, and she says, well, you know, it could have been, I know what you're talking about, but I had a real encounter. Some, there are some beings that I have this encounter. And so she said, so, this is the one questioning her. She says, so, you know, Paul, you know, on his Damascus Road experience, you know, I see it as he was really having an epileptic. How much they pay you? How much an hour does somebody sit on your couch and let you talk to them? My goodness, can you believe? And then she explained every encounter an epileptic.
A physical ailment.
Well, yeah, just firings of neuroreceptors in your brain.
Right. Ridiculous.
And it's like, yours are not firing. Anyway, so. And then today, as a matter of fact, CBN has today the effects of all these medications on these tension deficit disorder type thing, diagnosis in this medication, how it basically puts a lobotomy in people's minds where they don't even fire right. So they're convinced that the issue is our brains.
All right.
And because theirs is so well. Unlike us, we know we're not here because of our brain, right?
I know that's right.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Except for John.
Well, he's got two degrees. Right. You know, he's got 2 degrees.
You know, so smart.
He's
basket weaving and
basket weaving. It's actually criminal justice, man.
Yeah, but I didn't.
And biological science. Biological
engineering.
Engineering.
Engineering. Wow.
Yes. He took walking on water 101.
Yeah.
BRSM.
That's right.
We'll give a big shout out to all of our BRSM students that are out there today. So these words are coming to pass, but first, you know, we have to pay attention to, it just seems like it's going more and more cranial. The more darkness that we get into, that the nation gets into and the world gets into, the more people are in their heads. They're in their heads. And listen, you can die in your head.
Oh yeah.
You can die in your head because you're turning to your own thought life to be able to solve problems. And that will end up potentially with an epileptic fit. You know, because it's just your brain is not your savior. God is your savior. He saves your whole body, including your brain.
Yes.
And your mind is something that has to be renewed, which means it needs to submit to the ways of God. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about that to understand that the mind, you know, despite what this agnostic interview and this atheist with this psychologist responses, listen, God is God. Your mind is not God. Saul did not have an epileptic fit on the way to the road to Damascus. He had an encounter with God. I was just speaking about this atheist. Can you pronounce her last name? Barbara.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. That's good enough. Mm-hmm. Barbara, you're going to put a reference link to you. She wrote a book called Living with a Wild God, A Nonbeliever's Search for the Truth About Everything. And it's so sad. She spent 60 years and she's found nothing but God, and she's trying to get around him. And she is trying to find God. I guess you're not going to give me pronounce her name for me. 2 degrees. Come on, give me that.
Ironic.
Yeah, ironic. And that's
ironic.
Barbara, ironic.
I'm not ironic.
Hey, we'll have that for you. We're sorry about your name.
Sorry, Barbara.
Yeah, just doesn't even work. Anyway, so she spent 60 years trying to logically in her own brain, and this, so you have this cranial fest going on in this meeting, right? And you can see this, as a matter of, we're going to make it available for you on the VFN Torch and watch this interview. And don't just shut it. So many Christians just shut things down. It's like, no, I mean, God really cares about these folks who are being held captive by their own minds and their intellect. And so do like Paul and just stand before them and tell them about the love of God. Mm-hmm. This one rabbi got up and really did a really good job. And of course, they ate his lunch. But so understanding, you can't find God in your head. And there's nothing worse than you're being spirit led by your spirit. You're just having faith. You're telling your brain, line up with God's word. We're moving on. And you bump into all these believers who are in their head. And so you got to explain to them logically why you are walking on water. It's like, I don't know why. God just said, get out the boat. Right. He just said, do this stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you have any dialogue with these, carnally minded individuals, you're going to sink, because it's only faith. It's by faith, And so she writes this whole book, about, trying to find living with a wild God, a nonbeliever search. It's interesting. Nonbeliever. Why you got to say that? Because he's real. That's right. Mm. And she even talks about, she prays to this. It's like, you just need God, Barbara. You just need God. The sad thing is that you're going to meet him. If you don't meet him in this present life, give a few years left, you will meet him. And I would want you to make him the Lord and Savior of your life, so that when you do meet him, he'll forgive all that 60-year journey there. But I think about, how many people try to find God and follow God in their head, and it's nothing more frustrating to someone when you got to try to, you're not even in your own mind. Like Hogan, David Hogan says, he says, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind. And people want you to talk. These folks want you to explain to their carnal, simple, limited, finite, 10% used brain, what's going on, and explain the God of the universe instead of saying, look what's happening. And this is what he says in first Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are believers, for those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Think about this. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased to, through the foolishness of what was preached, to save those who believe. And he talks about how people demand and all that. And it's like, so you can just watch this whole interview, and this is a frustrated group of folks. Agnostic who's interviewing the atheist, he says, they tell me, this is what they tell me. They said that I miss my spiritual experiences because they tell me that I am too in my head. And I was like, oh, man, you got it. And the whole thing was, it just, of course, blew over because everybody in that whole room's in their head said, well, it couldn't be that. It couldn't be the fact that we're missing God. Because we're all in the same room. We're reading the same books. Wow. And we're trying to search for God without acknowledging that he is God. And what the truth is that your brain, think about it, you have a heart. You have lungs. You have feet and hands and eyes and nose and all this kind of, you know, all the parts of your body. And you have a brain. Now, although the brain is a powerful, powerful part and organ of our body, it's still, like the rest of our body, is expected to submit to the word and the ways of God. I mean, how much more powerful, he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have to give God our mind. In the battle that we're facing, he talks about that battle in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. He says, for though we live in this world with these philosophers and agnostics and atheists and people who think they're going to figure God out with their intellect, isn't it interesting that our college campuses and our universities is based on intellect are just trying to destroy and pull in, so 60-70% of Christians deny their faith by the time they go to a secular university, and reports are that 50% deny their faith in Christian university because you're getting too much in your head versus having what's in your head to submit to God. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. They have divine power to the demolishing of your thought life that's against God, your strongholds. We demolish every argument. An argument is nothing but a different viewpoint. We demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. In other words, listen, one of the battles that we fight with is our own intellect, that we're not going to allow our minuscule experiences in this thing called a vapor and a few years of walking on the face of this earth totally dependent upon a creator who gives us air and life, that we're going to all of a sudden think that we had to be taught how to read. We had to be taught how to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to figure things out, and we're still figuring things out, and we're amazed what, you know, collectively we're able to do. And it's like God's way above all of that. And so you don't, you know, it's important. I mean, think about not having feet. I mean, feet are very important. I mean, they carry you around, and if you don't have them, we build prosthetics, you know, to help you get around. Mm-hmm. And hands are important. Thumbs are important, you know. Mm-hmm. Eyes are important. These different things are important, and your brain is important. But you don't want to worship your brain. You don't want to worship your feet. You want to worship God. And he says, listen, taking every thought and bringing it into captivity, forcing it to be in compliance to what God, the creator of the universe who designed everything, is to be. Listen, don't be intimidated by these atheists and agnostics that are really trying to find something, how this all came to pass in their head. Realize this atheist spent 60 years, and she's still trying to explain away her encounter with God when she's approximately 14 years old. Understand this. She's frustrated. Just watch them. The whole room is frustrated. And Lord, we just pray for Barbara's soul, or that she would be saved. And all those that are really crying out, they put more time and effort into crying out, trying to find God, than people who profess to follow God do. And they just need to know it's God. Barbara, it's God. Just bow the knee now and claim Jesus Christ as your Lord. And if you do, I'll see you in heaven. If not, I'll just see you at the judgment seat. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.